invite your attention this evening back to the book of Romans chapter 15. And we want to read our text verse and try to pick up this evening where we left off this morning on the subject of patience and scriptural comfort. Before we read our verse and begin our message, let's go to the Lord again in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for your blessings, for your watch care, for your goodness to us, for the Word of God that we can use, O Father, to guide us in these times of darkness. We know that man lives in a state of spiritual twilight. And we know, Lord, that we need your guidance as we make our way through this world in this journey that you've ordained for us to do. We pray that you'll help us this evening as your people gathered here to feed upon the Word of God, to grow in the things that it contains, to be built up in the faith, to be strengthened in the power of your might, that we might witness a good witness, that we might be faithful to you, that we might go forward in the spiritual growth that you have appointed for us. Help us, dear God, to realize and understand that we can advance in the things of the kingdom from faith to faith. Bless our time together in worship this evening. Bless those who are of our number that couldn't be here. Build them up in the faith, Father, and cause them to know and understand how precious it is together with the saints. Help us here that are here gathered to know and feel the very same thing and to understand it, Lord. Watch over us now in everything. Use us for your honor and glory. Help us this evening to magnify our Savior above all else. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now we want to, again, remind you to call your attention to the book of Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. As we look again at what we didn't preach on this morning from the subject of patience and scriptural comfort. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now you'll note this morning that I focused on the last half of that verse, and the subject that we dealt with mostly was about this thing of gaining comfort from the Scripture by way of the pathway of patience concerning the things of the Lord. And in that this morning, we looked at various ways that we, by patience and waiting on the Lord, could advance in being comforted more and more by the Scriptures of God and strengthened by that comfort. We looked at a statement from David in one of his Psalms, in Psalm 37 and verse 7, and emphasized the fact that David certainly pointed to the need to patiently wait for the Lord. And then we looked at a similar statement by David in the 40th chapter of the book of Psalms, in which that we pointed out that David received a reward, a blessing from waiting patiently on the Lord. And we read there that God inclined unto David. In other words, he turned a hearing ear to David and listened to what David was pleading about and answered David and brought him up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. And he set his feet upon a rock and he established his goings. And I used that incident that David experienced to point out that we as God's people can expect a similar response from the Lord and receive blessings of the same sort, but that they all hinge upon being patient in waiting upon the Lord to do the things that He intends to do. Now, I went on from there to teach from Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8 that the Lord teaches us in His Word that if we have the patience to wait out God's unfolding intentions, the last end where we've waited and gotten to the end of what we know God is doing is always better than the beginning. That when we are patient with the Lord to hear what He has to say, to follow, to go in the direction He points, to be the kind of person waiting patiently upon Him that we're supposed to be, then God rewards us with an understanding that we always end up in a better place than when we started. Scripture can comfort us in so many ways concerning this, brothers and sisters. And the Bible is really full of all kinds of Scripture lessons about this great truth. And there's one particular teaching, I believe, that God gives us that is extremely important to us about this thing of waiting on the Lord and doing it even as we serve Him, even as we go in the direction that He would have us to go. And we find this in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 and 3. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, we read that the Lord says concerning our behavior, "Wherefore, seeing," He says, "we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, folks, if there ever was a bit of advice in the Bible that tells us what kind of condition or emotional and spiritual frame to be in when we run this race that God has appointed for us, right here is that verse. Run with patience the race that is set before us. We need patience to finish the course. We need patience to go on along in the life that God has called us to be what He would have us to be, to do what He would have us to do, and to trust Him in it all. We need patience for that. And so, taking the advice of the writer in the book of Hebrews, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And He doesn't, in this portion of Scripture, He doesn't just leave us hanging about how it is we're going to run this race with patience, but rather He gives us a kind of a bit of advice that helps us to be able to get hold of that patience to run that race. Because the very next verse, He says, "looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him suffered and endured this cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." And so, He says, do you want to know how to be able to exercise patience as you live your life in this world and as you try to do the right things and do them on time and do them the way the Lord would have you to do them? Are you looking for a way to have patience in your race that you are running? Look unto Jesus, because He sets the example. Now, folks, it takes a little bit of study to fulfill that last advice, because you might imagine that you can just think about Jesus Christ and what little bit of knowledge you have up here in your head from studying the Scriptures, and you'll have enough to be looking unto Jesus for that guidance about running your race with patience. But listen, the Bible is full of things about the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't know yet. It really is. We've got a Bible full of things that allude to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can start by going to the book of Matthew and reading through the book of John. That's a start, because that's what we call the gospel messages. And it gives a great overview of Jesus' personal ministry here on earth. And in that, the Bible teaches us a whole lot about the way the Lord Jesus Christ acted. But there are things beyond the gospel accounts that have a great deal about the Lord Jesus Christ that we don't know, that we haven't yet learned. Things out of the Old Testament, things out of the New Testament apostolic writings, things all through the Bible that give us insights into what kind of person our Savior is and how our Savior deals with the things that are of the creatures that He created, and how He responds to the things of earth, and how He responds to the things of heaven, and what He intends for mankind, and what He intends for us. The Bible is full of those things. And we very often fail to see that if we're drawn to follow this advice the Hebrew writer gives us by looking unto Jesus, let's imagine, let's just think for a moment and realize how extremely broad that idea is, how much area it covers. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And when you start talking about the broadness, the magnitude of what God is, then you're into the infinite, aren't you? You're beyond the temporal. You're beyond that which is tangible. You're into the infinite. And there are so many things about the Lord Jesus Christ that we can use to help us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, in verse 3, we find that the Scripture does give us a little insight into some starting points for things to look at as we seek to grow our patience in waiting on the Lord. Because that verse says in Hebrews 12:3, "For consider him that endured such contradicting of sinners against himself." That's a starting place. Have you ever stopped to realize that all the opposition that you get on earth has to come from a source of wickedness? If it were not so, there wouldn't be any opposition at all against you as a child of God. And so, all opposition coming from some source of wickedness, when the Bible here says, consider him, the Lord Jesus Christ, consider him in this life, that he endured such contradicting of sinners against himself. You realize that the Lord's here talking about the opposition. The opposition to us in our lives in trying to do righteous, be righteous, walk righteously, live righteously, and give a righteous witness. The opposition is always something to do with wickedness. And of course, what is it in this world that manifests wickedness? It's sinners. Sinners manifest wickedness. That's the tool of the devil, to show forth wickedness, to act out wickedness in the world. And so the Bible is real simple, isn't it? In a lot of places, it just plainly tells us things that are so simple we stumble over them, forget them, or don't really get them at all. But we're to consider him because he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And then he goes on in verse 3 to tell us why we need to be looking unto Jesus and how he responded and how he acted and how well he overcame the impact of the opposition of sinners. We want to do that, he says in the last part of verse 3, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Isn't that our great failing as God's people? When it comes down to the matter of being right, of doing right, of living right, of having the patience to endure what we have to suffer. Doesn't it all come down to whether or not we get too wearied and we faint in our minds? Doesn't it come down to whether or not we win or lose? It's whether or not we continue on, we persevere, or we get wearied and faint in our minds? It's one or the other. And so if we can discover the way to go on, to withstand, to be persistent, to resist, to make forward progress in spiritual things, and avoid that trap of being wearied and fainting in our minds, we will have gotten to the place to make steady advances along the road of learning how to be patient, waiting on the Lord. The Bible teaches so many things about how we may win confidence in the Lord by patience, about how we may run our race with patience, about how we may act in patience in times of trial to get to the victory, to get to the place where it becomes productive spiritually for us. But Scripture also cautions us, brothers and sisters, about being hasty and giving up on exercising patience over the long haul. And I just quoted one such instance that Hebrews speaks of. Look unto Jesus and consider Him, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. But there's more in the Bible about taking caution for times when you would otherwise faint, taking caution for the fact that you might be prone as a human being to faint and to give up before you ever get to the end of that waiting, of that patiently waiting for the Lord, before you ever get to the end of it, giving up and thereby losing the blessing of getting to where God is taking everything. In James chapter 1 and verse 4, James says it like this when he's talking about, don't give up. Don't yield and get fainty in your mind. Don't be wearied. He says it like this in verse 4 of James 1. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, if we look at this statement by James, we realize that patience has to be producing or does produce a spiritual final product. Let patience have her perfect work. You'll never see the complete work of what God is moving things toward if you get weary and faint in your minds and you give up short of the goal. You'll never learn what great things God has for you. So patience produces a spiritual final product. But if we jump off of the assembly line, right in the middle of the production process, brothers and sisters, we end up with a half-baked result, is what we do. And it can happen to any one of us. We can get to the place where we say, you know, it's just not worth it to put up with this anymore. I just can't do it. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to go in this direction anymore. I just don't have the staying power to go through with it. We may do that with spiritual things. And if we do, we'll never get to the place to see the full production, see it, if you will, roll off the end of God's assembly line, what He has in store by way of blessings for us. And I believe that, as I suggested this morning, so many of the blessings of God have are hinged upon. In fact, it is critical that we move toward those blessings in a state of patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Folks, you know something? A rose bush, about this time of the year and from about April on, is a very beautiful thing to behold. But a rose bush without roses is just a plant with thorns that'll stick to you. And that's the way it is when we stop short of God's production. When we stop short of that waiting patiently and get off the assembly line before the product is fully put together, we're like a rose bush without any flowers on it. And we want to watch that we don't do that. Impatience, I said this morning, impatience is the death of patience. And that impatience is something that we all are prone to in the flesh. And I strongly recommend that we as God's people, in regard to spiritual things, always take a second look, a second thought, when we're prone to say, look, I've had it. I've got to give up on this. I'll take second rate because I just can't stand the strain. If we do that with spiritual things, we'll lose so many blessings. In regard to spiritual things, seeing things through to the development of the spiritual product, we have to be rid of patience, of impatience, and we have to be vested with patience. Now, how can we bring this idea down to everyday life? If I'm standing up here talking about we need to be patient until we see God's unfolding of everything to its final conclusion in our lives, how can I bring this down to common everyday life so that we understand what I'm really talking about? Let's illustrate it this way. Let's just say that When we do not let patience dominate while we're waiting on the Lord to bring out something that is a whole result, a whole blessing in our lives, a whole and full experience of spiritual things, when we refuse to wait patiently for that to happen, it's kind of like pouring concrete and then walking across it before it sets up. We mar what could have been a finished product. It's kind of like, brothers and sisters, mixing up a big bowl of Jell-O, and then before it gels, drinking it. All you got there is some weird tasting Kool-Aid. Whereas if you wait patiently for it to gel, you've got Jell-O. It's kind of like pouring that first cup of coffee in the morning, but after the first two burbles of the coffee pot. Yeah, you'll get a little bit of dark water, but what's it going to be like? It's not coffee. And that's the way it is when we abandon patience, when we jump ahead of God, and we do things that we ought not to, and leap ahead of God in trying to get to a conclusion, we simply mar what might well be a great blessing from God in what He's unfolding, in what He's doing in our lives and for us and about us. Well, we want to take just a minute here to identify where we get this patience, because all this time, since this morning and now, I've been talking about be patient, wait on the Lord. Now, let's just stop just a minute and talk about where we get this patience. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, and I want to read you something. And we all know this verse of Scripture, and I'll go beyond this, but I do want to emphasize this because it is one of the keystones to the truth about patience. Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, not only so, says Brother Paul, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Paul had gotten to the place that he had learned that if times were rough, that was just an indicator that God was going to build some patience in him. Now, we don't 100% all the time go along with this spiritual philosophy. We get in a bind, we get the pressure of life and the pressure of incidents and the pressure of some circumstance bearing down upon us, and we don't stand there and say, yeah, man, the Lord's going to build some patience in me. No, we don't do that. We say, boy, I wish this thing was over. I'm suffering. It's terrible. I hate being in a condition in a place like this. But the truth is, Brother Paul gives us a great truth about it, and that is that tribulation worketh patience. I'll give you a hint, brothers and sisters, and it took me a number of years to learn even one little iota of this. And that is that if you will focus on patience, on waiting on the Lord, you'll avoid some tribulation. I think some of you older Christians may have learned that. Because the Lord doesn't say, well, hey, I'm going to give him a 50-pound dose of tribulation so he can get some more patience. No, the Lord looks at us and He says, you know, he or she has been very impatient about spiritual things and hasn't learned at all to rest in me and go flow with the tide. If you will, ride their canoe downstream, down the stream that I'm sending them on. And so I'm going to send some tribulation their way so that they can get some more patience. But hey, I believe that the Lord teaches also that if we are patient, didn't I read that to you in the book of Ecclesiastes? If we are patient, we patiently arrive at our destination and we discover that the end product is better than the beginning product. And so tribulation does work patience, and you'll get some through tribulation. But I'm just saying that you don't always have to jump into a big barrel full of tribulation in order to get some patience. But sometimes, and probably more times than not, the Lord has to put us into a place of trials in order to give us some patience because of the way we're made. Now, we also learn that works experience and experience works produce patience, works experience, and experience works hope. And that same portion of Scripture says that. If you look, the Lord didn't leave it with just tribulation work of patience, but he went a little further. And he said, patience, experience in verse 4, and experience, hope. And then in verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. I want you to focus on verse 4 for just a moment and notice that we got tribulation and it works patience. And then patience works experience, because as we're patient in the tribulation, we're able to notice some stuff that we wouldn't notice if we were impatient. That's just the bottom line. And when we are noticing stuff, you learn some things, and that's called experience right there. And then experience works hope. Well, look here, we got right to the end product that this verse was talking about and that I reminded us about at the start of the sermon. This whole process works more hope. But there's more yet. I bring this up because with these words combined with other scripture, we learn something that can really comfort us. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, I want to tie this verse in. In chapter 1 and verse 3, the apostle writes this when he's writing to the Thessalonian brethren. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, and listen to it, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. I want you to focus on that Thessalonian phrase, patience of hope. Now let's go back to Romans 5. Patience works experience, and experience works hope. And there is in hope an element called patience of hope. Does anybody see a cycle there? Does anybody see this circle that comes back on itself? We find that tribulation works, and it works patience. And patience works experience, and experience works hope. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, within hope, within a gain in hope, within a growth in your hope, there is something called the patience of hope. So what we have here, brothers and sisters, is a cycle set up by the Lord in which that, yes, if we have to experience tribulation, we will gain patience. And out of that patience, we will grow in hope. And out of that hope, more patience will be produced. Isn't that a great cycle? Isn't that a wonderful truth from God? It really should change our attitude somewhat and our view somewhat about how we see what we call tribulation. And that's just another word for trial. And you get into hard times, very difficult times. It doesn't matter what source it comes from. That's a kind of tribulation. And this ought to change your view of tribulation some. In that you can know now that since it works patience, and that patience works hope, that hope itself is going to generate yet more patience. And so you can't get anything but something positive out of tribulation coming from the Lord, can you? That's a great truth that we need to learn, because I believe that when we go through all of that, it may well change our attitude and outlook on times of trial. In James chapter 1, back to chapter 1 and verse 3, James tells us also that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, I don't have to tell you that certain kinds of tribulation try your faith. There are other things that try your faith, certain challenges that you might not view as tribulation, but they try your faith. They question whether or not you're going to continue in the faith, and they raise up a specter of trial that suggests that you really don't want to stay with your faith. And those trials of faith, the Bible says, James writes, work patience. And so all around in our experiences in this life, God has got things going on that will of themselves work patience for us. That's a great and wonderful truth that we ought to cling to. So tribulation works patience, and hope works patience, and trying of our faith works patience. Now, if we just stop there, and we will, as far as enumerating the things that bring patience to us, look at the fact that there's three things that occur in your life and will occur that will grow your patience. And realize that God has it figured out about how to teach us patience. And now I ask you why. Why does God take so much concern about helping us to grow in patience? You remember what I pointed out at the beginning of the message? That the blessings of God in comfort that you can get from the Scriptures are tied to our exercise of patience. You can read the Scriptures all you want to, but if you have something grinding away at your heart that won't let you rest in the Lord, you can't get any comfort from the Scriptures. But if you, through the patience given to you of the Lord, have come to the place that you have some level of rest in the Lord, then when you read the Bible, comfort-wise, it becomes meaningful. Comfort-wise, it becomes something that's important to you. And that Scripture that you read becomes a source of comfort to you from the Lord God Himself. That's why it's so important, and that's why God pays so much attention to giving us those experiences and those things that will bring us into the arena of learning more and more patience. Now, our last point in Scripture is this. This thing is what the Lord aims at in teaching us through patience and comfort of the Scripture. I've already mentioned it twice, once this morning and once this evening. And it is that we might have hope. That's my last point. The whole aim is to give us a place that we might have hope. Now, what's so important about having hope? If all of this that I've been preaching about this morning, this evening, is all about giving us hope, or making it so that we will have hope, what's so important about hope? Well, I want to show you something that may teach you, maybe you already know, but if you know already, it'll remind you that hope is critically important in the whole thing of the faith of the child of God. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, we read this about hope. Now listen to it. It'll cause you to scratch your head if you haven't studied this out before, because it is complex. For we are saved by hope. And somebody, some good Baptist says, well, Ephesians chapter 2 teaches us that it's by grace through faith that we're saved. I want you to notice that in the Bible, our wise God, in Ephesians chapter 2 and round about verse 8, said that by grace are you saved through faith. And in Romans 8, in verse 24, our gracious and wise God said, for we are saved by hope. In a way that's hard to explain, brothers and sisters, hope is a product of faith. Faith is that river that we are floating on toward heaven, all downstream. May seem like it's swimming upstream sometimes, but it's downstream because God's ordained it that way. But hope is the vessel that we ride in. It's the inner tube that we're floating on. It's the canoe that we're paddling. It's the flotation device that we're going down that river on. And why do I illustrate it that way? Because to say that we have faith, but not have any steadfast confidence that the Lord is going to perform what He says He's going to perform, is to be in a deep river without a flotation device. Because we can be carried, we can be saved through faith, the traverse point, the travel way by which we are saved, that's through faith. But we must find, in that through faith, we must find the flotation device of hope, the confidence that God means what He says and says what He means and has the power to bring it to pass. A person cannot have saving faith and not believe that the God that he trusts for his soul's salvation has the power, the means, the willingness, and the intent to bring to pass what he says he's going to do. That's hope. And so in a sense, I hope you'll understand, yes, we are saved by grace through faith, but we are saved by hope because the steadfast confidence in God is that which keeps us within the condition of believing in the Lord. It is the condition of believing in the Lord, of trusting that God will do and can do what He says that He can and will do. We trust the Lord has blessed you with an understanding here this morning and this evening, and to realize that we as God's people have a wonderful, wonderful blessing from God in being taught by the Lord how to be patient. And that God has an intent in that teaching by which He will lead us to a strengthening of our hope, our confidence in Him. And in that waiting patiently upon the Lord, we grow in yet more hope and more patience as we move toward heaven in trying to serve the Lord and trying to do His will.